The Upset Mama Podcast, coming in your ears every single day. So this edition of the Upset Mama Podcast will just be a quick wrap up of what's happened in the last few days since my last podcast. My last podcast was on Monday, and since then we've had my dad's funeral and so on. So I'll just talk a little bit about that, just to kind of wrap things up, and then that'll be it. We'll move on. But anyway, on Tuesday, we had the viewing with my dad, and it took place at the funeral home, and we went in, and before I went to see my dad at the viewing, I felt this horrible amount of guilt and regret and self-hatred, and I was really hurting, and I was beating myself up over the death of my dad and everything I didn't do and everything I didn't say and all the bad things I did do and did say. And, you know, I felt really depressed about it. I was sad about my dad dying, but I felt really, really bad about the way I had perhaps done things occasionally in his life. And I was really beating myself up over it, to the point where I probably felt like, you know, I just want to die myself. That's how I was feeling. And then when we went to view my dad, I'll tell you, as soon as I went into that little room, and it was just a very small room, and the coffin was there. And at first we went in as a family. But as soon as I entered that room, honest, hand on heart, I swear to, I don't know what you want to say, a god or, you know, aliens or whatever. I swear, on my mother's life, as soon as I entered that room, it felt like the guilt and the regret and the hatred and everything inside me that was building up and bubbling up, it felt like 99% of it had been removed. And I believe that that was my dad. He was there in the room, the spirit, and he was saying, look, son, don't do this to yourself. Don't beat yourself up over this. We all have regrets. We all have hatred about ourselves, about things we didn't say or could have done better. We all feel guilty about those times that we didn't just take a moment to say something that we should have done. And it was as if he was just saying, look, I know how you feel. I was there myself when, you know, my dad died or my granddad died or somebody else in my life did. It was as if my dad was just there saying, look, son, you don't deserve this. I'm going to take away 99% of that pain from you. He left me with a little bit because he doesn't want me to forget that, you know, that's how I felt. And I should always feel like that a little bit because, you know, it's fair that that's how I feel a little bit. But he didn't want me to feel bad to that degree. And so it genuinely felt like he just sucked out 99% of all of that and left me with that one little percent. And it was amazing. And the way I felt leaving after viewing my father in the coffin and the way I felt before we went was just, it was like I was a completely different person. And seeing my dad in the coffin, it was as if, I know that they make them up and they'd plucked his eyebrows and put makeup on him. And I swear, he looked about 20 years younger, right? My dad looked about 50 instead of 70. It was amazing how, you know, the work that they'd done on him. And if he'd seen himself like that, he'd have been like, whoa, I'm going to wear makeup every day. You know, he looked that good. And it was great to see my dad like that, because I know that they make them to look in a particular way because they want you to see them in a particular way and remember them in a particular way. But forgetting all that, my dad's body actually looked happy. And I don't just mean that they made him to look happy. I mean, he actually looked at peace. He actually looked as if he was happy. Wherever he is now, it was as if he was sending a signal through his body to say, look, I'm happy. You know, just remember me how I am right now. This is me. I'm happy. Release any demons that you have inside yourself about me, because I don't regret anything and I don't want you to regret anything. And I think it was very important to see my dad like that, because before that, the last time I seen my dad was in the hospital after he died, and that was horrible, because they didn't prepare us for seeing him like that. They just kind of said, okay, let's go in, and he was on the bed, and he, you know, his mouth was wide open, and his eyes were a little bit open, and he was basically a dead body. It's like he just walked in on a dead body, and it was there, and it was just horrible, and I think the whole hospital environment as well just made it even worse, and oh, it was terrible. If you've ever been through that yourself and you've ever experienced seeing a dead body in a place like a hospital, then you'll know what I mean when I say that it's one of the, you know, worst images to get into your mind, and you just can't think about it. Can't think about anything else. After seeing that, you can't think about anything else because that image always gets into your brain and just buries itself in there and it eats away at you and you feel really, really bad. So I think it was very important to have a viewing with my dad before the funeral, to see him like that and remember him like that, and to see that he genuinely looked peaceful and happy means that I felt a lot better as well. And, you know, when I left that room, I felt not happy about my dad having died, of course, but I felt like wherever he is now, he's genuinely thrilled to be there. And feeling his presence in that room just made me feel like, you know, my dad is there. Wherever my dad is, he's still here as well. And he'll always be there. And that was really, really good. So it was important that I had that viewing. So I guess I'd say if you're in a similar boat right now and you're being asked, do you want to view the body after death, like in a funeral home in the coffin, I would probably say yeah. You know, don't let that last image of them be sick in bed or a dead corpse just laying in a hospital bed or something. You know, don't let that be the last image. Take the opportunity to go to the funeral home and see them in the coffin, because trust me, it will put your mind at rest. It will ease your pain just a little bit to see them like that. At least that's how it was for me, and I believe that's how it would be for everybody. And then Wednesday was the funeral for my dad, and it was held at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And all day, all morning, I purposely got up, and I was feeling better because having seen my dad the day before, and I got up. And I made a conscious decision to spend as much of the day as possible doing what I would normally have done before my dad died. And I felt like that was important. So I got up, I had some breakfast, I watched some television, I listened to some music, I did everything, and then go to lunchtime, had some lunch, and, you know, I spent some time with the family, and then I had a shower. And it was time to go, and we left here about 2 o'clock. And we got there about 2:45, and we were told by the minister that he'd meet us there, but he wasn't there. And there was a little bit of me panicking. I was thinking, oh my God, you know, where's the minister? And the place was kind of dead. I mean, no pun intended here, but the place was, there was nobody about. There was nobody there, and there was hardly any cars. And my sister and I had gone the day before, just to plan the route and see where we were going and see what to expect. And when we'd gone the day before, it was absolutely packed. There were people everywhere and cars everywhere. And then when we got there on Wednesday afternoon, it was like this was a completely different place. So when we went at the time on Tuesday, it must have been a large funeral that was going on at that time. But anyway, we found the waiting room and we decided to go in and we waited. And literally about 2 minutes after we went into the waiting room, a hearse pulled up outside and it was our funeral director and it was my dad's coffin. And the minister was with him and they came in and they came in to see us and said, you know, hello, and are you fine? Are you okay? And we'll go in a minute, because there was already a service in front of us and it was running a little bit late, maybe 5-10 minutes. But that was fine, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And then when they were ready, they came and got us and the minister took us into the service hall. And there was only 3 of us at the funeral, me and my sister and my mum, because that's how my dad wanted it. And this place was so massive when there was only the 3 of us. And it wasn't really that big a room, but just having the 3 of us in there, it felt huge. And I remember we were walking in, and the organist was playing Abide With Me, because that's the song that my dad wanted, a beautiful song. I've only really discovered it since my dad died. I looked it up on YouTube, and I listened to it, and I think it's a great song. And the organist was playing Abide With Me as we walked in, and you know, we sat down at the front, and then we were asked to stand, and I looked up at the back, and there was my dad's coffin, and they were wheeling it in. And then they put it in to the place where they sit it. But I thought it would be like I'd seen on television. I thought we'd have a service and then somebody would press a button and my dad's coffin would kind of go down a little conveyor belt and then the curtains would close. But it wasn't like that at all. They put him into this little kind of place where they lay the coffin. and it was completely covered in curtain all the way around, and they closed the curtain immediately. So I don't know if he was even in there for the whole service, or as soon as that curtain goes down, they kind of drag him out the back and go off and do him, and we just get on with the service. I have no idea. But the minister gave a really lovely service. It was beautiful. He talked about my dad and the challenges he'd had in his life and how he'd come through them all and how that had been a lesson to us and to him and to anybody who knew my dad, that regardless of what happens in your life, be strong and just keep going. You know, don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't say, why me? Just keep going, you know. And he said that my sister and I were my dad's gift to the world. And I kind of, I gave a little bit of a, I didn't laugh out loud, but inside I was thinking, you know, yeah, the world has never forgiven my dad for that, you know, and that's, it was as if my dad was sitting there next to me and he was saying, yeah, the world has never forgiven me for that, you know, as a little joke, you know, and that was quite nice. And I do think that my dad's spirit was there at the funeral, and I think he was watching over us, and I didn't break down. I thought I was going to cry and break down when it happened, but I didn't, you know, I was staying strong, and that was partly because of the day before and having seen my dad, and I felt a little bit better after that, and the funeral was more a kind of closing, it was closure to the whole thing, rather than a sad occasion. You know, it wasn't a happy occasion, of course, but it felt like we were just, it was the final goodbye. It was just like, on you go, you're free now, Dad, go. You know, your body doesn't matter here anymore because you don't need it. You're a spirit and you're floating around wherever you are, and you're living your life now there, and you're happy, and your body was just holding you back. And we left the funeral and we came home, and we just did what we normally do really as a family. We toasted my dad. That was the first thing we did when we came back. We toasted my dad. And then at the time that he was supposed to have died on the death certificate, we toasted him again, and that had been exactly 7 days since he had died, according to the death certificate. And that was a week. So, you know, within 7 days, pretty much to the minute, my dad had died, we'd arranged the funeral, we'd had the funeral, and that was that. And then Thursday was very quiet. We collected my dad's ashes on Thursday afternoon, and we brought him home. And it was, you know, I didn't realise just how small and light somebody's body could be after a cremation. It was like, whoa, you know, this used to be my dad, and now he's just this. And that was kind of weird, because I've never experienced that before, and nobody prepares you for this stuff, you know. And anyway, we brought him home, and we got two urns, because my dad had wanted to be spread, and I'd wanted to keep the ashes, so we got two urns, and that was fine. So we put the main one on the mantelpiece, and he's there right now, and he's happy, and he's watching over us, and he's with us, you know, in the living room. And, you know, anytime we're all there together in the living room, my dad will be there with us. And then on Friday, we went to spread the other half of his ashes. Well, it wasn't exactly 50-50. It was more like 75-25 that they'd done. So the 25% that we went to spread, we did that on Friday. And we just spread him into the sea where he wanted to be. And that was that. And I don't believe that my dad is anywhere near his ashes. I think that the ashes are just, you know, ashes. And he just wanted to be, I don't know, put in a place that he felt happy, because I think my dad had a lot of happy childhood memories from where we spread him, and I think he went there and spent a lot of family holidays there as a youngster, and some of the best years of his life I think were spent there, so he was happy to return again. And we had been there as a family, you know, only a year or two ago we went and had been there, and it is a lovely place. And you know, my dad is, because we didn't spread all of him there, I'm not going to say he is there, because, like I said, the spirit is somewhere else, but it's nice that we have somewhere we can go now on a day out, and we can just sit and think about my dad and this lovely surrounding, and look out to the sea, and watch the ferries, and the boats, and the seagulls, and the beach, and all that stuff, and just think about my dad. And then on Thursday night, I didn't tell you this, on Thursday night, I had a dream about my dad. Every night before I go to bed, I say, "Good night, Dad, I love you, I miss you, and if you want to talk to me, I mean, you can get me in my dreams, because I'm always there, and I'd love nothing more than to talk to him in my dreams. And for all I know, I spend my entire night dreaming about my dad and talking to my dad, and he's there with me, and I just wake up in the morning and forget about it. I don't know. But Friday morning, I woke up, and I had a huge smile on my face. And I woke up slowly, and I can remember lying there with my eyes closed and this massive smile on my face. And I felt happy. And the reason was, I'd just had a dream with my dad in it. And in the dream, my dad was dead, but he was covered in kind of a white sheet, and it was covering his face, and the only part you could see of him really was the actual face. The rest was covered in white. And the idea was that all these dead bodies, people who had died, were taken to this lake, and they were laid out, and they would float on the top of the water. And it was kind of, I don't know if it was a burial or whatever it was, I don't know, but that's what we would do. And we placed my dad in the water, and he was floating there. And out on the water, all you could see were all these white sheets and just faces of people who had died. And my dad was there, and we'd just put him in right at the edge. And then he suddenly woke up, and he started to sink. And as he sank into the water, I remember panicking and jumping in and searching for him. And, oh, you know, it was freaky how I felt. As if we were losing my dad. He's alive, and he's drowning. You know, this was awful. But we found him, and we got him up onto the shore. And he was dead. It was, you know, it was clear that he was still dead, actually. But I could talk to him. And when I spoke to him, he would wake up and give answers. And then he would just appear to be dead again. So in the dream, the only two things I remember saying are, "I love you, Dad." And he said, "I love you too, son." And the other thing I remember asking, "Did you leave a will of any kind anywhere?" And he said, "No, nothing." And that, I don't know why I asked that. I guess there was always maybe the whole week people have been asking, you know, like the insurance company and people, "Did your dad leave a will? Did your dad leave a will? Is there a will?" Because that's very important. And I knew my dad hadn't left a will, but I suppose in the dream, because I felt like I was talking to my dad from beyond the grave, it was important to find these kind of things out. But I'm sure I asked him other things as well, and I just can't remember it. But the most important part was I said, "I love you," to my dad, and he said it back. And I truly believe that that was my dad contacting me from beyond the grave, in my sleep, in my dreams. Every night when I say, "If you want to talk to me, I'm in my dreams, you can come and talk to me, I'm always there." And I think that was my dad taking that opportunity just to say, "Hey, you know, how you doing, and I love you." And, you know, it was, I guess, another just final closure thing there, you know. And I hope that I'll dream about my dad again, and we'll talk again, and that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. But I'll tell you, I genuinely woke up, I've never woke up like that in my life, feeling happy with a huge smile on my face. That is how I felt. And it was amazing. And I jumped straight up, and I had to write it down, because I didn't ever want to forget that. And I haven't forgotten that. Perhaps writing it down has helped my memory keep it, but I didn't want to forget that dream and the basics of what happened. So that was nice. So anyway, that's I guess that's the end of my journey of death. And compared to if I was to go back and listen to that first podcast I did last Thursday, "Rest in Peace, My Beautiful Father," and compare it to today, I think even if you were to do that, just go back and listen to the first, you know, 5 minutes of that one, and then listen to this one, and you'll realise I've made a huge jump from how I felt then to how I feel now. I'm still sad, I'm still depressed, I still hurt a bit, and I'll never get over that, and I miss my dad so much. And I would give anything to have him back here right now. But compared to how I felt that first day after he died, and now, I feel like I've come full circle, and I'm prepared now to just carry on with my life. And as I said earlier, I really believe that was my dad's doing. I think he's helped me a lot from beyond the grave. He's just said, "Look, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. It's fine." And he's released a lot of that from me. So from Monday, the podcast will get back to normal. I'm going to take the rest of today, and I'm going to take tomorrow just to rest and prepare and think things over, and just, you know, catch up with things that I haven't been able to do in the last 7-8 days that I've neglected a little bit. And then on Monday, the podcast will get back to normal service, and we'll carry on from where we were. So I'd just like to once again thank everybody who has been very supportive of me, sent emails and comments, and saying condolences and sympathies, and a lot of your words have helped me a lot. And a lot of you have said, you know, hey, you know, write to me when you want to and contact me and get it out. And I have done. I've replied to everybody, and I've written things that, you know, have helped me to deal with this pain that I was suffering. And so thank you all, because, you know, doing the podcast has helped, and being able to write things down has helped. And my girlfriend has been hugely supportive, and my family have been very supportive, and my friends have been very supportive, and everybody has just been wonderful. And I don't know if I had to do all this whole week alone, I don't know if I'd have managed it. Although I think I would have done, because my dad had taught me to be like that. You know, like I said in an earlier podcast, I'm learning every day things that I'm remembering, that are teaching me, that things that my dad had taught me when he was here, that I didn't even realize he was teaching me. And maybe he didn't even realize he was teaching me. But when I think of memories and things he said and things we did and how he did things, I remember that, you know, that's how you do that, and this is how you deal with that. And you know, my dad, either knowingly or not knowingly to either of us, was teaching me how to prepare for life without him, and to be a man. And if I end up even half the man my dad was, then he'll be very, very proud, and I'll be doing very well. And I just have to live my life now and make my dad proud, and be the man that he knew I could be. But anyway, until the next podcast, thank you very much for listening. Take care of yourselves, and goodbye for now.